New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
What if I told you weight loss is not about willpower, cutting carbs, or working harder in the gym, but instead comes down to flipping a specific switch in your body, one that helps flush out unnecessary calories? Heart surgeon and nutrition expert Dr. Stephen Gundry is revealing a new, simple, but insanely effective way to help get a slim, energized, and healthy body with no deprivation, restrictions, or fads. MCT Wellness can help you flip that switch yourself from the comfort of your own home. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. All you do is add a scoop to water and enjoy. Help unlock your body's potential by going to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
We're back for Lulz, Brick 75, and Pete here. We'll see what we get up to today. We got some updates to the draft caddy. I might be dabbling in a little bit of hoops. Brian might be battling LeBron for Madden supremacy. All that today on Lulz. Let's see it.
He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What?
Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in 1 for yes, 2 for no, and let the DFS cats pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
Where do you fall on that, the LeBron James, Nepo baby, Bronny James stuff? I've been seeing a lot of chatter about that.
I don't really think about it much. I saw like he might get a high like NBA 2K ranking or something, like an unnecessary
Bronny.
High. Yeah,
that's funny. I've seen a lot of outrage about it, and it's like all these people who come out of the woodwork of like he's taking a job away from someone who earned it or whatever. It's like look the things LeBron has done for this league and like growing the sport and all of this, and it's like you're not gonna let him just like indulge in this thing. Like, what's the point of being on your way to being a billionaire and the most famous basketball player arguably of all time if you're not going to flex it and be able to do something like that? I thought it was kind of cool. Like I thought it's sweet, like to see a dad and a son playing basketball together. So I don't know, I guess I'm not hardcore enough of an NBA bro to be upset by it. Yeah. I thought it was cool.
I think it's because sports is a religion to some people, and it's like an affront to God, you know, like,
yeah,
this is not how we, this is too important. You can't just have this. It's so important. I don't care anymore. So like, I don't give a like, go ahead, play 40 minutes. I don't care.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know. There's those, like, what are the things people remember? You know, the narratives there was the, what was it like the LeBron Kobe tribute dunk, you know, after Kobe died, and like that's the shit people are remembering. Like, is anyone going to remember the random 11th man who got to play because LeBron said, you know what, Bronny, you're not ready for the league. You don't get to step on the court with me. I don't know, it just seems so silly.
I agree. Like, I remember this is a long time ago. My girlfriend at the time's mom was like, I don't like, she knew I was big into sports and knew everything about sports. She's like, I don't really like sports. I don't like any sports. I just think it's silly. And I remember thinking like, how could you, you know, think that? Like, how could you not care at all? Like,
yeah.
And then, you know, years later, I'm like, oh yeah, she's right. This is, it doesn't matter. It's all just stupid. Who cares? Who cares what they
care? Were people doing the same thing when Michael Jordan tried to play baseball, where they're like, think of this, you know, AAA player, he's taking a spot away because he just wanted to covet and try playing baseball.
That was the start of the conspiracy theory culture, you know, that got yeah. big. I bet it wasn't as big in the 50s and 60s and 70s, maybe 70s it started, but it was LeBron. It was Jordan quit because his gambling debts. And so he's just going to play baseball for a few years, serving his sentence.
Yeah. You know?
That's why he was gambling on games. That's why he's played baseball. That's all I remember. I don't remember. Jordan could do no wrong, really.
Yeah. You
know, I don't remember. I don't think there was too much criticism of MJ.
Yeah. Yeah. People just wanted him to be done with it and then come back and play basketball again. So like, just get it out of your system and then come back.
I think it was the Republicans buy shoes to ideology of him that made everyone love him and no one cares, where LeBron's not that way. So people hate him for it.
So speaking of LeBron, we got to talk about, it was, again, in typical Lulz fashion, like this stuff always happens like right after we record. So it was like last week you had posted the infamous screenshot, the phone screenshot of your computer playing Madden. And then LeBron came out and refreshed my memory. What did LeBron post?
Top 100. He made it to the top 100 rankings in Madden 2025.
And where did you land?
I'm 40th right now.
You are 40th. So you are better than LeBron James at Madden, and Madden and LeBron is one of the 100 best players.
We don't know his handle. Do we? Does anyone in chat know his handle?
Why?
There was a one handle that kind of looked like his. It was, what was it? King RBJ or some like if he calls himself Bron James.
Yeah, someone found
that could be him. But he doesn't put his handle in there.
But isn't there a rankings board available? Like, can you go see the top 100? Wouldn't you be able to then see what
his username is? You've been removing shit on EA's, like, makes it hard as hell to see your info. So no, I mean, not that I haven't played this game in 20 years. I'm not even kidding. So I just started after 20 years. So I am out of the loop. You know, but I don't play Pete for me anyways. I think you know this. All right. I do it to teach the youth of America a lesson. I take no pleasure in playing Madden.
Well, didn't you tell me that the whole reason you're doing this is because, you know, someday with your one of your children, you want to play Madden as both of you top 100 together. And through nepotism, you're going to get them on the sticks with you.
Yeah. Remember the Madden bus? You know, one day I want to be on the Madden bus with one of my children. Yes.
So wait, is it so, like, I just have to assume, like, I'm not trying to discredit you at all, but you were one really good at it. And it's just so much muscle memory, like riding a bike, that you can come back and keep up with these kids who are playing this game, you know, 20 hours a day.
It's a lot of muscle memory. Cause the controllers changed. So I still do the things I did 20 years ago. I stopped in 2005. Cause they changed the game and they fucking ruined it. And then I was watching YouTube and, like, I don't know, it just looked fun. And I'm like, all right, I'll play it. And then I don't want to lose to these fucking kids talking shit to me through my TV.
What Biddles wants to know, what is your play style, your Madden play style?
I pass the whole time.
High PROE over there.
Pass and blitz.
So how many hours of Madden have you played? Like, to get to this ranking, what did that take?
Too many, Pete. Too many hours. But the youth is never going to learn, Pete. They use the words glaze and ass constantly. That needs to stop, right? They don't know anything about the Super Bowl shuffle, that's for sure. So I'm teaching them.
We already have doubters in the chat. Tell them about your old Madden resume. Why would Brian lie about this? You think the screenshot is doctored?
This is really going to get us the viewers, this episode. I stopped 2003, 4, 5, I was top 3 online. But whenever you say top, you say your highest number. So like, if I make it to 20, I'm top 20, even though I never got higher than that. So 3 was the highest I ever got to. I never made it to number 1.
Pretty incredible.
But then they changed the whatever engine or whatever of like the game, and I thought 2006-07 sucked, and I just stopped playing.
So what do you think the odds, like, I'm not familiar with how, like, are you able to seek out and play other top players? Like, did the top players sit to go against each other?
I hate it because the matchmaking is so fucking, you know, modern times where they won't let you play anyone shitty. So I have to play again. Like, they'll stick you against the same guy three times in a row, even though there's hundreds of people searching for a game because their ranks are too low. So yeah, you only play high rank people.
So what do you think? You're very good at, you know, kind of realistic odds making. What do you think the odds are that you played LeBron James?
At least 50-50.
Wow, 50% you played
LeBron. If he's in the top 100, yeah.
I love it. And so, and then if you're ranked higher than him, then the odds, if you did play him, of beating him are how high? Like, how often would you lose?
I don't know how good he is, honestly. I would hate to lose LeBron James. I don't know if I could I don't know if I could live with that.
Dude, that's incredible. I don't know.
If he's top 100, he's got to be pretty good.
What yeah, I am with. I do think you need to do a stream at some point.
If he plays like a dinky dunk, if he takes the Chiefs, I only take the Bears. I've only taken the Bears every single time. So if he takes like the Chiefs and plays some dinky dunk strategy, then he's got a shot.
I realize I'm outing myself. I have not played a video game since I lived at, I guess, probably college. But do you do like the headset thing where you talk to your opponents?
Nah, I don't have a headset. I don't have any headset. I mean, I did when I used to play. I'm just as soon as the youth understands, Pete, as soon as I teach them the lesson they so need, then I'm done. I'll stop playing.
But I'm just trying to wrap my head. Is that an option? Like, if both players had their headset, you guys could talk to each other while you play?
Because I hear them talking through the TV.
So they'll have that enabled for them, and you just won't have it enabled. But you'll be able to hear them chirping you.
I can hear them. I can't turn it off. I have to, like, go into settings to turn them off. It's pretty fucking annoying. But I would say only, like, 20% of people talk.
Okay, let me ask a very important question. Did you ever hear anyone coming from the screen who sounded like one of the best basketball players of all time?
No, that'd be hilarious, though, if he sends me a message, you know? The messages people send, no, I have a feeling Brian doesn't want his fingers on those messages.
I just imagine you, what ended up taking LeBron James' public image down, and it was Brian getting, like, a clip of him that he screen recorded of him just saying all these vulgar things.
What's that, friend? What's that, King? Say it again.
Man. Brian, I think you could do big numbers. If you did, like, a marathon stream and you were just like, chances are pretty good I'm playing LeBron tonight, like, come and watch me fuck up LeBron. Like, that would be fun.
If we knew his number... his handle, we could figure out. This is something like Reddit or 4chan needs to get on, you know, like, they could figure it out. Like, did you ever hear that like Shia LaBeouf thing? 4chan, like, Shia LaBeouf put like a flag up, and I can't remember what it was. It's probably like fuck Trump or something. I don't remember what it was, though. Don't quote me on that. And so, like, the 4chan guys, like, they're insane autistic people, right? So, like, they went, like, hardcore to find out where this flag was to take it down, and they, like, looked at the picture and then could see the stars and then mapped the stars to the general location.
Jeez.
That went there, started honking the horn because the flag was on camera, until they could geolocate or whatever the bat type of thing is, the audio version of
that,
until they found it and they got in there, took it down, told them fuck off, and ran away.
Have you seen
we need that kind of level to find out what LeBron's handle is?
Yeah. I do think at some point, though, regardless, even if you don't cross paths with LeBron, you should give the people a Madden stream. I think they would get a kick out of that.
Yeah. I'm surprised how angry I get occasionally.
I love it.
I'm like, yeah, I thought I was over that. I guess not.
I've told you my Madden story before, right?
No, I don't think so.
Maybe a long time ago I did because if you ever mentioned Madden, I probably would have brought this up. So, like, in high school, my buddies and I would have Madden tournaments, and I was one of the worst because, like, I didn't play and they would play a lot. And, like, when they were playing at our house, I'd be like the one, like, some of us would play poker, some of us would play Madden, whatever. So I was not like the Madden guy, but I'd do the tournaments because we're, like, gambling on it and whatever. Mm. And again, I was way outclassed. And so my move was, like, I understood then I need to eliminate the number of plays or reduce the number of plays in the game.
Run it.
And so I would run it and I would bleed the play clock down every single time. And my friends would get so pissed at me. And I'm like, look, if we're just playing for fun, I'll rip it in and like you guys can beat the shit out of me, whatever. Yeah. But if we're playing for money, I'm going to do whatever I can. My friends are like burning their timeouts right away. Just like, fuck you. Stop bleeding the clock. And I'd still lose every time, but I'd make them miserable as they were beating me.
That happens online. That happens online quite a bit. Yeah. Clock management's big though. It does matter quite a bit.
I love the tutties,
you're in trouble.
Yeah. And people always talk about that too, right? Like the kids who play Madden all the time, that they have a better understanding of clock management than a lot of NFL coaches.
Yeah. But the new version's a little arcadey, so I don't think as much, but, because like the clock runs down now arbitrarily, but yeah, back in the day, I would definitely think that. I would wonder about like offensive strategies and stuff if the best Madden players could come up with some actual, but I don't know, maybe now the way real life works, probably not.
Some of it makes sense, right? On just the pure clock stuff. When you just think about the number of reps, right? It's like these Madden guys could have 100, 1,000 times, how many, more reps than in-game situations.
I'm thinking more like the Cliff Kingsbury thing, where it's like you could scheme the play art to make it everyone get open, but then in reality, it never happens kind of thing.
Yeah.
So like, because that's what they're doing is they're hot routing and mixing and matching the players, scheming the players to get open against the defense they think their opponent's playing.
Yeah.
A little bit of a bit of a chess match, but you probably can't throw, 30-yard out routes and stuff all the time like you can in Madden.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think what we've learned here is Brian, you need to hunt down LeBron James and you need to stream it at some point. The people would go nuts for this.
I don't know how to, guys. I'm the guy who took the screenshot of his TV, right? I figured out how to take a screenshot of my TV finally, but
you should set up the most bootleg stream imaginable where you're like streaming it on your phone, like over your shoulder, and you can like kind of see the TV and we just see like the back of your head as you play. It's so funny. Like obviously streaming video games is very popular, but there's this like genre that I sometimes stumble upon on TikTok now where people will just live stream while they're at their job. So like some examples, like I've seen a lot of like newscasters do it. Like, so they'll have lots of downtime in between like recording various things and they'll just have their phone up on their like the desk in between like actual things, and they'll just kind of like give you of like, oh, this is behind the scenes at the news. And I've seen I've seen people like just cooking, like people who are like line cooks and stuff, and they'll just put it up. And there's some kind of like fascination with, I don't know if it's a voyeuristic fetish of just like seeing people, and they're not even like engaging with the chat. Like they'll occasionally say something or like read a comment, but it'll just be like 5 minutes of like someone cooking up eggs at this diner, and a lot of people are watching them.
That's so strange. Is this TikTok?
Yeah.
Huh. And they don't have a following for some reason,
No, I think they get hacked into the algorithm because like they're broadcasting for a long time. And obviously the algorithm's like that when you're broadcasting, and then I think there's also this impulse of like, the algorithm is showing you something for a reason, right? Like it's not just going to show you something. And so there's this almost like self-fulfilling prophecy of everyone's kind of stopping me like, wait, why am I watching this? And then next thing you know, you're just like locked in and you're like, oh, that's really interesting of how he's flipping that egg or whatever. And then, 8 minutes later, you're stoned and still watching this guy flip eggs.
I kind of like that. Yeah. I think I've told you this before. I like watching old like camcorder videos from the 70s and 80s and stuff, like in the mall, a mall in the
like
early
home videos.
80s. Yeah. Someone at a mall during the day, taking a home video, just goofing around at the mall. Like we used to do, Pete. And like, it's just like a different world, And, everyone's walking around, or outside, everyone's skinny. Everyone's smoking. It's weird. It's just like
a
different world.
I always my
I bring that I, up is all this recording is like we're gonna have a ton of stuff for people later on.
Oh, it's insane. And you think about like some of the kind of documentary style films that come out where you think about the amount of like footage they're going to be, even like, what was one, a recent one, like the Kanye documentary recently, and he's like a famous person. So like cameras rolling around him all the time, but even like non-famous people are going to like have like this wealth of content, you know, from their own photo and video roll, to where you'd be able to like stitch together pretty compelling stories.
AI, that would be something perfect for AI. They could take all this data and then show like in 2022, you know, January 7th, here's what the world looked like exactly. You could go to anywhere on the planet and we could kind of show what was going on, you know, like you could walk through the like the past.
Yeah, that'd be trippy. On this front, Christopher saying, imagine you to stream is lineup building process. People would be blocked in even if they didn't play DFS. I bet people would watch, like, again, that same shot where it's like you see Yuta and you kind of see his screen so you can kind of see what kind of stuff's up, and oh, he's got an optimizer open. Oh, he's got his Excel or whatever. And it's not like you can read exactly what he's doing, but just like watching him work for an hour, I bet people would tap in just being like, oh, I'll just want to see what it looks like.
He obviously he doesn't want his opponents specific, you know, especially him since he's playing the head to heads and three mans and stuff like that. He doesn't. I wonder if he could do it on like a 20-minute delay.
Yeah, I'm telling you, people would be fascinated. I think there's like levels to it. Obviously, that's a specific example of people are just like, what's his setup like? Like, there's even curiosity of like, does he have multiple monitors? Does he have a standing desk? Is he in an office? Is he, you know, like people are just interested in that. But then there is also, I think, with some of those things I was talking about, where there's almost like an ASMR aspect to it, to where it's like soothing. Are almost like background noise, or there's a rhythm to something happening over and over again without a lot of action. That's like legitimately calming for people.
I feel like the voyeuristic thing you said has got to be something to do with it. It's a little too popular.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when we were kids, like dads would say, like, why don't you go outside and play sports? Now it's guys watching guys play video games. You know what I mean? Guys, people watching people do things.
Yeah.
You know, not only yourself doing it where people wouldn't like it back in the day, you know, you yourself playing video games or something. Now it's people watching you play. It's like the second level.
Yeah, seriously. What was I going to say? I forget. There was something else with that. The amount of stuff now that has a life on TikTok and these platforms and what people are interested in, it just blows my mind. Like the niches within sub niches is just incredible.
Yeah. It's interesting. I have no idea where it's going to go either, but I don't know. I feel like, something's going to happen. Something interesting will come around from all of it. And maybe probably some bad stuff. I guess we kind of already have a lot of the bad stuff from all this right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. So you guys have made some more updates to the draft caddy. I just got the new one loaded in. Why don't you tell the people what you guys have been cooking up?
Yeah, this one's cool. We got the... we did the combos. So the player combo projections. So we have player projections, not like whatever, like ETR, like ownership, like how many guys are going to pick whatever, Justin Jefferson. But this time we added, you know, combos, the highest ranked combos of players. So it's the first tab. If you go to settings and then go to the tab and then two players. We'll have three players, like, hopefully before Sunday.
This is super awesome. And like, I was just fiddling with it real quick before we went on, but like a good example to look at is, so Derrick Henry's been going 101, and then you can sort by estimated own. And it's interesting here for two reasons to see Lamar Jackson as his most frequent pairing. One,
because they've been hitting in tandem together this year when one goes off the other. So it makes sense that people like that combo, but their ADPs are directly lined up as well, where Lamar's going at like 11 or 12, which is right when if you take Derrick Henry 101, you come back around. So to me, I'm already immediately flagging that this combo is going to be overrepresented most likely, just because one, there's the recent like correlations of these guys hitting, but also two, just lining up ADP. So it'll feel like a good click. And those, I would say the correlation angle maybe mitigates it a bit, but I want to go find those spots of people are getting funneled to this combo because of ADP and only ADP, and see how I can maybe sidestep that in a smart way.
That makes perfect sense. I want to see, I mean, Dan's been releasing his optimal percentages.
Yeah.
Sam, I want to see what the like optimal pairing should be too. That's kind of always how interested I am in ownership and how to use it.
Yeah.
I tweeted this out too. With last week, I showed the difference between projected ownership and Dan's optimals. Yeah, there you go. And then I just put like the biggest guys, the biggest like leverage guys. It doesn't mean like they were the best plays or anything,
yeah.
but like Aaron, I think Aaron Jones and Jordan Mason were questionable, right?
They were. Yeah.
So
they were both my gems in my Deposit Kingdom video for scroll down guys.
Yeah. So that they definitely were going to be way under where they should have been. I think all these like bombed, by the way, but like,
it doesn't matter. But bombed relative to the chalk going off, which was, this is all fresh in my head because I'm working on my video for this week for week 8. And I always do like an evergreen section. And I was talking about how like last week was going to be a week, just the way I play, that I always lose. And that was because like Gibbs, RB8, Mixon, RB5, Njoku, Titan 5, like all those guys that generally fall in that fragile range, all went off. You had to have those guys. And
are you like fading them or something?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, Aaron Jones and Jordan Mason projected for more than both Gibbs and Mixon and were barely getting drafted. So it's like, I'm just going to lose those weeks. Like they're just, you just move on.
Yes. Yeah. And you should, you know, I mean, there's, I don't know why you would take, I think this, BR is still inefficient. I'm not convinced you can make like a ton of money on it. Like it's because you got to put in so many hours and stuff. And there's only so many games to play and you can only get so much money down, stuff like that. But I still think it's pretty inefficient at the like top, you know, like the even guys who are getting drafted like 95% of the time, it really should be like 86. I know it doesn't seem like much, but like it's just shows it's not totally efficient yet.
Well, it's funny you say that because the thing I've been like knocking around in my head, and it almost sounds like hippy dippy, but I'm trying to find a good way to articulate it. And you kind of just did there, is that it's almost like the guys you're not taking can be more important than the guys you're taking. I think it's like conceptually, it's easier to think like I have this sleeper who's not getting drafted that much. I will take them. But sometimes it's like, oh, what about in the first round, that sixth pick that you're taking over and over and over again, who shouldn't be taken at 100% frequency, and that you want to mix and match and skip that pocket of the draft because there's still fragility in their projection relative to a player going 20th or something. And that idea of not necessarily feeling compelled to take guys in certain ranges over and over. And I think that's the thing that maybe trips people up even more of identifying the sleepers, is just falling on the landmines too much.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to avoid those, I suppose, but when you have the ownership and project and optimal rates, like staring you in the face, it's, I feel like pretty explanatory where it's just like, oh, I'll take this guy instead of him. There's a good example here somewhere. It's not this one. Can you go to the different positions? There's positions where where there's two guys who are like identical ownership. Was it Sam Darnold maybe? Yeah, Darnold and Cousins maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like this is kind of good, I suppose. So like Darnold's less projected own and 15 points more optimal.
Yeah, because he projected better than Kirk Cousins last week.
Yeah. So, and he's getting taken less. So it's kind of that, like my first video I ever did on my YouTube channel. It's like a perfect example of when you have, you know, if you had a coin flip, but you knew everyone was taking heads, well, then you just take tails and auto profit eventually if you do it right enough.
In that, the BR is littered with that dynamic every single week, some weeks more than others, but there's almost always multiple spots like that. Like even in people can nitpick, like another example last week, I was looking at it and Njoku was the tight end who hit us, tight end five. ETR had Colby Parkinson projecting for 0.1 point less than him at a fraction of the ownership. And you can say, you know, David Njoku, much more talented player, yada, yada. But if you trust the projections you're using, then that discrepancy in draft percentage should never exist in like a super efficient market. And I don't know, those spots pop up every single week.
Definitely. Definitely. And if you're down a ball knower, you know, you might need some tools or spreadsheets and try to figure it out beforehand. Like I think the opto, at least last week, this is the opto rates for last week, kind of mimics the strategy you kind of implement, you know, I don't know if you're consciously doing it, but like with the later QB selection, like sixth round QB, you could see like Purdy, Mahomes, Goff, Smith, all the optimals, just like you could take them as much as you could take Darnold or Cousins here. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if like your Love week, like I bet Love was in the sixth round that week where you took third or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think the optimize or his sim agrees with your strategy.
So this actually brings up an interesting thing, because you've talked about this a little bit with DFS and like salary cap and 150 maxing. And if a player is showing up at like a low optimal frequency, like let's say, you know, sub 5%, that you might even just like chop that off. Right. Because you're like, if this thing's hitting, I probably don't have enough teams in my portfolio for it to even make sense. And I think I sometimes run into that with like maybe my BR, and I haven't been fully maxing it, but I'm just like, yes, I realize I should probably have a little bit more of this quarterback, but he's not a big part of like what I'm trying to exploit this week. So I'm just like mentally chopping it off and like not drafting any of them.
Yeah. So his list I used last week had 82 playable players.
Mm-hmm.
So like automatically you're chopping off whatever, 75, 80 of the underdog picks.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're unplayable, and you could probably go up a little bit too if you want. I mean, right. That definitely would not be a problem, I don't think. So yeah, cutting off the bottom range within reason, as opposed, especially if you're like a big scroll the F downer, you might be getting a little loose there too. So I think that is a prudent, you know, strategy.
Yeah, and I think that's probably like a leak in my game now, and something I need to start, you know, because like I said, I'm doing the thing where it's easy for me to go out and get the targets, the guys who I think are mispriced, but I have blind spots to the guys who don't really jump out, but still should be drafted at a frequency higher than they're being selected. That's probably my biggest blind spot in BRs.
And you can, you know, you're a member, obviously, you can go into Dan's channel and download it and then upload the optos like I do here too.
Yeah.
If you're drafting on Saturday or Sunday, he does this too. Maybe I could share this with you.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it in our Discord chat, or actually, should I put it? That's all he sent me was the text. You could probably put it in.
You want me to put it? I can pull it up in like a Word doc or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll pull this up as you start talking about it.
He does the optimals for stacking. So like, I think we talked last week, what's the optimal rate for Josh Allen to have no stacking, stacked teammates? What's the optimal rate, you know, for, yeah, you're gonna have to zoom in. Everyone watching this knows what stacking is. So like this week he's got some interesting numbers. And we'll talk about this on Davis's stream too.
Is this for this week or last week?
This is for this week as of Thursday at whatever he did this, you know, this morning or last night. So it'll be different on Sunday, but the stuff right now is showing almost no wide receiver flex picks this week.
Okay.
So that's pretty interesting. But the reason I'm bringing it up is because you could combine the two ideas, right? So you got your ownership and your optimal rate, and then now the construction. And it almost leads you like automatically on what player to pick each time.
Yeah. And then it's interesting because I agree, even just having done a few drafts, like the RBs look so much better. I would guess that the flex stats, they won't be this skewed, but I do think the field will heavily be doing 2 RB versus 3 wide receiver this week. But what this shows you is maybe not even to the extent they should be.
Oh, you know what? Maybe we should add that too, Pete, to the caddy.
What's that?
The field, the predicting optimal stacked rates. Mm-hmm. So this is what you should do if you're playing an equilibrium strategy. But what are they doing? So how many 3 wide receivers are they doing? Because this is a crazy week. They're going to be over 3%, right? It's got to be higher than 3.
Yeah.
So you should take less wide receivers, right? Was what this would tell you. But like, mm-hmm. let's say a week where it should be, you know, 10, but they're only doing it 1% of the time. Well, now you mm-hmm. should be doing it more than 10% probably.
Yeah.
So anyways, we could also try to predict those numbers too and put it on the settings page.
For our audio listeners here, total stacking should be, this is pretty interesting. So this is saying running a naked quarterback almost 50% of the time.
Yeah. Just to the chat, we're talking about battle royales, not Millie Mae, not DFS right now.
Yeah, guys, we're BRs here. And then so almost 50% of the time, naked quarterback, 46% of the time, a skinny stack, and then 5% of the time, a double stack. I guess what surprised me, and again, this is unique for this week. It's not like on the whole. I would have thought the double stack was a little higher and the naked was a little lower, would have been my gut.
Yeah. And I think you explained, cause I don't think I was clear. I conflated stacking in the flex. So the flex is stacking irrelevant. How many 3 wide receiver teams are optimal this week? 3%. Right. That's yes. How many 3 RB teams are optimal this week? A lot. 96%, 97%.
Two RB, but yeah.
No, 3.
You can't do it's
is it two? Is it two?
Okay, 2. Flex, so it's like 2-2.
You're right. Yeah. 3. 2 RB.
Yeah. I would be really interested to see this for like the previous weeks and seeing how much it's deviating slate to slate and then trying to kind of parse out why that deviation would be occurring.
I think I have last week's. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah. What date would that be? Here it is. Yeah. Here's last week's. You could just paste that right in there. Right. So,
yeah, where did you put it?
I put it in chat again.
Thank you.
Discord.
This is okay. All right. So this is let me do this as so this was last week. And wow, yes, it was okay. That actually makes me feel a lot better.
2 weeks ago, right? 2 weeks ago, but yeah.
Because I thought it was a good double stacking week. And so this one here, it was 28% naked. 53% skinny, 17% double stack. So a significantly better double stacking. And that again tracks with it's a way better running back slate. The wide receivers aren't projecting as well as they had. So it would make sense that the viability of the double stacks would swing back in the other direction.
Yeah. And in significantly different each week.
And I think that in general is like a good takeaway for a lot of DFS stuff, right? Because there is a temptation to want to jam what worked the previous week. And there's two things you're having to deal with there. One, small sample sizes, but two, overall slate dynamics changing what can be optimal. And I'm sure if you average these rates out over time, you would have like a pretty good directionally accurate, like this is generally what you should be doing. But I do think applying slate context where the strength of the player pool is at, because this does kind of track intuitively with how some of these have stacked up. So that's pretty cool to see.
Yeah. I think all this stuff is really helpful for BRs because you're in the moment, you know, you're drafting live. It's a lot easier in DFS to kind of just put it all together at once and then enter it, you know, where BRs, you kind of, you need to do more like a poker thing, you know, like, oh, what kind of strategy should I use right now in this specific spot?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's fun to like think about it through, you know, say like the double stacking lens of like, okay, say I really liked, you know, in back-to-back weeks, the Houston Texans stuff. And last week I was doing a decent amount of like Stroud, Dell, Schultz, some double stacks. This week it's like, okay, don't be forcing those double stacks as much. This is going to be way more of a week you want to skinny stack that element. And again, not saying there's can be specific examples, but just kind of shoving you or nudging you in the right direction there, I think is nice.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So this week, and this is also Thursday, things can change, but, you want like one or no stacks. You're not taking a wide receiver or tight end at flex. And we don't know the optimal player rates. We do know the ownership rates, but you're going to have to no ball on whether those numbers are right or not just for now.
Yep. Yeah. It's fun. So it's awesome how much, you know, between the nerdy Sims and the draft caddy, how much stuff you guys continue to add. It's a lot of valuable info.
Yeah. I think it's perfect for BRs. You know, it's a perfect little tool for drafting snake drafts live.
Well, and it's just like, it's so the kind of like a lot, like this is obviously macro stuff, right? Like, and so I think that's what's fun about BRs is there's almost like three levels to it. There's like the macro stuff, like how do I want to approach this slate? Then there's the actual drafting itself. What am I doing in the draft? And then there's the third part, which is like, okay, now actually let me review my exposures through these drafts. Let me get them closer to optimal target exposures. And so like, there's a lot of levels. And sometimes I think I do a lot better job at like maybe the drafting element, but not, you know, the macro or getting my exposures to where they should be.
That's another thing we've always thought about adding. Davis wants like a EV calculator, so you can like.
Oh, I know it's his $1 million idea.
We'll be so rich, but you know, just the idea of being able to review stuff, it is pretty useful. I don't know what else could we do there. I mean, we could archive your exposures, I guess.
Yeah.
And you can go back in certain weeks and look.
Yeah. I still think like for the in drafting, like the displaying the, like knowing, hey, I've done, you know, what ends up happening to me is I end up, you know, having a scroll down stack or something. I've done a lot. And then it can be hard to remember like, oh, what was the tight end I had with this? Oh, you've just happened to have done, you know, George Kittle with this every time. And it's like, no, you want to mix and match the tight ends. Like, I think being able to almost the same way you guys now have made it so you can review the combos, like being able to go type in your own combos or review those would be helpful.
Yeah. Probably need can you download a CSV for Battle Royals like you can BBM? You know what I mean? Like this week, can you download, like show me my...
Let me see. So that's interesting. Yeah, you can email exposure CSV.
Okay.
Yeah.
Probably take that and then upload it and then parse it. You want to go back to the new thing, the combos thing, really quick?
Yeah, let's do it.
I thought the most interesting, because I wanted to do this because when you showed me the one for BBM3, what's the website?
BBMDB.com.
BBMDB.com. I thought the most interesting thing was, who were you just looking for? the Henry.
Yeah.
And then go to the highest. I thought like, that's pretty cool. Refreshed. This should only refresh twice a day, by the way. So hopefully that's right.
Really?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a lot of data and stuff, but, like in Njoku Henry, you know, stuff like that, I find interesting. Like Henry Jackson, it's like, yeah, duh. Right. Jackson what? Flowers. Yeah. Duh. Like that's going to be high. Why is, and actually this one's probably not the most interesting, but like, I would say getting up there, I would be like, okay, I'm never taking those two together.
Yeah.
You know, why would I, like, if you're sitting there, you got Henry number one and whatever he's going, I'm assuming later, just don't take him.
Right.
There's no correlation there, right? Are they playing each other this week?
Yeah, they are. Njoku's playing.
Maybe that's why he's getting bumped up. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's also the tight end four. So like, he's a guy who's going to get drafted a ton. So like, if you think about like even just pure math, right? The 101, you know, if assuming they're not scrolling down, that gives them like six tight ends to take. And so even a sixth of the time, they will just probably land on Njoku if they're just kind of like mindlessly taking the best tight end available.
That's probably right. And a real good reason to not take him when you take Henry. But could you delete the search and just see? I want to see who the highest guys are who aren't like clearly correlated. So like Cooper Allen, obvious. Brown Hurts, obvious.
Here's
so
one.
Is that Bijan or?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And they're correlated directly by ADP. Their ADP is back to back this week. So that 101 is coming back at the turn. And so Lamar's ADP 11.1, Bijan 12.0. So people are going Henry, Lamar, Bijan, probably a really good chunk of the time.
Interesting. Bowers and Love then too. I'm assuming that has to be ADP based.
Bowers and Love. No, there's no way. So that's just a weird one.
So then just don't do it.
Well, let me double check on the Bowers.
So yeah, double Love, check on that.
Love is 28.7 and Bowers is 13.8. So they're going multiple rounds difference. That's just a random one.
Well, there you go. Breece Hall, Drake London.
Breece Hall, Drake London, I'm going to guess is an ADP one. Breece Hall has an ADP of 3 and Drake London. Where is Drake London? Drake London has an ADP of 11. So one makes sense as well.
2, 3, 4. And then
it makes sense too, because so after London this week, so wide receiver is weak. So it's like Chase goes 4, Brown goes 5, Tyreek 7, Amon-Ra 8, then Drake. And then the next wide receiver is T. Higgins, not until 19. So a lot of times if you start with Breece and you're looking at the board and you're saying, I want to go to a running back next, Drake London is that top available running back. So you can start to see how these combos get made.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like all of them feel like easy fades besides the correlated ones. Cooper Allen, man, that's just ridiculous. Half the field is going to have Cooper Allen.
Well, it's because people are so – it used to be everyone stacked up Josh Allen with Dalton Kincaid because it's like, you know, correlate the tight end, be done with it. And then Dalton Kincaid's been such ass that the field is so desperate to not have to naked Josh Allen in their lineups. They're like, finally, Amari is here. I have a stacking partner I can do.
Tyreek Hill and Njoku.
Yeah.
Jordan Love Reed seems like that's reasonable, 30%. Amari Cooper, Jamar Chase. Are they playing each other since he's playing Buffalo?
No, since he's playing the Eagles.
Yeah, so that's just like a random, you know, if you see a bunch of people doing it, don't do it. And like in my head, you should measure it all out, right? But like, if you don't want to, I would just go, all right, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not doing that.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. And like the tight end ones to me, I'm like not concerned with quite as much. Like if it's one of those top elite tight ends, like Brock Bowers is the best tight end on the slate. So you're seeing Bowers up here. The Bowers Love one, I do agree, is weird. Bowers with Barkley, you know, Bowers with Drake London, these other guys at the top, a little less. The Love one though strikes me as just like completely abnormal. I don't know why.
I feel like I still would be concerned, like not concerned, but like I imagine a big chunk of the time you could take Bowers two spots earlier with somebody else or two spots later with somebody else. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you still should just always just be a little creative.
Yeah.
I want Bowers. Okay. Well then make sure when you, the opportunity presents them and it's a not love team, then that's when you take them. Like, why would you, if it's just sitting there and you got love, like just don't do it unless you're only doing like three teams or something.
Crutches. What is Hunt Bowers? So they play each other.
Hunt and Bowers, huh? That's, I doubt, I think, I don't think, I think Pete's right. I think this is more, I think it's more ADP based driven and people just not paying attention and taking their slotted guy when he's available.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not seeing Hunt showing up in the most frequented. It would be nice, Brian, if you had the ability to almost search two boxes too, or add it like a filtering thing just so you could quickly be like, or even like comma Bowers Hunt or something to be able to see that. Cause like I'm trying to find Bowers Hunt right now. And I like manually,
well, if it's not high, it's gotta be low.
Yeah, true. Yeah. But it would, oh, there it is. Okay. 9.1%. Oh, sorry. Your comments.
Yeah, he's comments. Blocking.
9.1 here. So, which isn't, that doesn't stand out as anything.
No. Yeah. Cause I don't think people are consciously doing it. I don't think a lot of these are consciously done except the QB correlations, maybe some run back.
What are we doing? So Jaden Daniels with Bowers. I don't think Jaden Daniels is playing this week.
But here's another thing I think you were trying to get at, which is a good point, is with the tight ends, where you said you're not concerned, is like there's a certain like the optimal rates for a decent amount of players for each week is 100%. Like they're going to be taken, right? You have to take them kind of so like it makes sense to like not be concerned where it's just like, well, I got to take tight end four because there's only four tight ends this week and he fell to me, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's with Jordan Love. So be it, but I'm not going to take tight end five because he's so there's such a big drop off or something like that. My point being is I don't know what the number is, but there's a baseline rate for some of these players that is just like, it's fine. It's normal because they're taken almost every draft anyways.
Right. Exactly. And this is a good shout out from Patrick Donovan, the aforementioned proprietor of BBMDB.com. Bowers is around the 2-3 turn and Reed Love around the 4-5. So that could also make sense that it is just a quirk of ADP funneling.
Yeah. So the guys who take Bowers don't need a tight end anymore.
Yep. And people aren't as enthused to take Tucker Kraft this week on their Jordan Love team. So it's like, oh, I'll do my quarterback wide receiver stack and just get Bowers. I guess to me, with the tight end thing, it's, you know, looking at like the players that I'm willing to mix and match or that I would take in any kind of scenario, like if they fell in, like Bowers definitely is going to start falling in that elite tier of players that you're like, whenever Bowers is there, like I will take him to get him within my portfolio. So you're going to be okay. A lot of times, like if you get him as a faller, it will often be paired with probably the same one, two, three players at the top of the board, basically. And it's like, I'm just going to live with that because he's the end of like the elite tier before I start scrolling.
Yes. Yeah. I kind of like this line of thinking. I do what I said earlier, though. I still stand by, like if you're sitting there and you got this guy who's way too high combo owned, it, you know, you could take him earlier with somebody else or later with somebody else, probably a decent amount of time. Mm-hmm. I would look at the 100% owned guys and then go through this. So like, because then you could kind of do this without having to like go back to this all the time, you know, although it's populated. So you could leave this open while you're drafting. It's not, you know, it's not going to overlay, but you could leave it open and pop back to it for reference. But and just earmark the guys who you definitely want to miss. So we got Henry one, right? We kind of did him. Who's number two?
ADP is Barkley.
Okay, so go to Barkley then.
So Barkley again with Lamar, just like Henry, because the ADP correlated thing at 36%.
Yeah. Let's go. Okay, so
same Thomas. With Bijan at 24.
Thomas Jr., right?
Brian Thomas?
No, you had him right there. He was I'm looking for the highest like random guy.
Oh yeah.
That's associated with the top picks. So with who did we just do? Barkley.
Oh, Barkley, sorry.
And then if you go down like 8 or 9 there,
Amari's random.
Is that random?
Yeah.
So Amari, Brian Thomas, DJ Moore.
I'm guessing Amari's a bit of an ADP one, though, 22.6.
I mean, I think that's more of a reason than you don't want Cooper Barkley.
Yeah. Brian Thomas is very random. His ADP is 30.3. Again, yeah, I do think, yeah, you're on to something for sure, Brian. Like Amari is the chalk ADP guy that you pair with Barkley in round 4. And then Brian Thomas is the chalk ADP wide receiver you pick with him in round 5 or whatever. Like if you're looking for that position, and you're just taking best available by ADP, that's the guy who's often there, basically.
Yeah, and I'm trying to, like, simplify a strategy for myself. Maybe here I'm talking out loud. So, like, let's say I get pick 2. I take Barkley. Now I go to this. I type in Barkley.
Yeah.
Right? Because this is – you don't really care now. You know, I mean, you kind of care about your 2. And then maybe you do your second pick 2. But just type in your pick and then go, okay, don't want Cooper. Don't want Thomas. Don't want Moore. Done.
Yeah. No, it's this goes back to the thing I was saying, Brian, about like the picks you don't make can often be just as important. Whereas like I'm generally going like, okay, I took Barkley and I want this to be a scroll down team where I take, you know, J.K. Dobbins as my running back or whatever. But in the same way you're saying like, okay, this team is going to be a Barkley Dobbins. You also want to say, but it's a Barkley Dobbins in without Brian Thomas. Because if I'm scrolling down, I want all of these pieces to be unique and not running into a accidental chalk Barkley Thomas combo where you're now going against way more teams than you should be.
Right. We're adding the three person tab too. I'm not sure how needed that's going to be. What do you think? Do you think three person?
I don't think it is. I'll give you a reason why. Cause I was just looking at Patrick's site of, so like the three guys you needed last week were Gibbs, Mixon and Njoku. And I was looking at the combos of Mixon and Gibbs, and there was like 600 of them compared to, and I'm giving away a big section of this video. So please still watch the Deposit Kingdom video, but way more than like the Mason Aaron Jones combo. But when you added Njoku to it, there were still only like 50 total combos of the nuts in a way where it's like, man, if you're on Mixon, Gibbs, Njoku, like that's still down to a range, even though that they're all chalk and it's still not necessarily how I want to play as a trio. It's still a pretty small amount of teams you're going against in a way that it wouldn't be something I would necessarily be going out of my way to avoid sets of three.
Yeah. I think it's more interesting than anything like for shows and stuff. So I'm glad we're still adding it. We could have something to talk about. But I think you're probably right. One thing I probably, if I would just go to the tab, go to the highest, you know, estimated owned threes, and then just don't do those threes.
Yes. And again, I think if you're already scrolling down a good bit, I guess it would be helpful to know the threes at the top of the board. I think those top three rounds where people are more willing to take the best available player, that's the part where it's like the 1-11-12. That ADP correlated thing, the 6-7-18, whatever it is, those sets, those are the ones I think you're just trying to get slightly off.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like the whole reason I wanted to do this is just like randomly each week, you know, there's like, why is Njoku so much with this guy this week? It makes no sense. Just don't take him. And if there's some week where there's three players who are not correlated, even by ADP on the same team, like just don't take them. Like it's so obvious. Yeah.
Well, the other one that jumped out to me, and not that I don't want to go as far as saying it's bad, but like, so AJ Brown with Higgins. So they play against each other, Bengals and Eagles this week. So it's Oppo wide receiver. Higgins is playing really well. This game has, I would say, a little shootout potential. But in general, I think the bring back specifically for players who are 100% drafted like Brown and Higgins are a little overused, and AJ Brown drafters are clicking on Higgins at a pretty high frequency. Like, if you're saying here that almost one third of all AJ Brown teams will have Higgins, like, that's something I want to sidestep.
Okay, good. Yeah, exactly. I mean, what about Hunt there?
Oh, Hunt. Yeah, Hunt. That seems very random.
Yeah, it's like, okay, random. Let's not yeah. do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
it's got to be where you were saying a big part of this is like, it's my turn. Who I need a running back. Who's the highest on the board? Kareem Hunt. Click. They're not thinking. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're not thinking. They're not going to this tool and then typing in, you know, Kareem Hunt on Brown. And, oh shit, I have Brown. I shouldn't take Hunt anymore.
You know, I think it's a really fun like hand builder tool to have up while you're drafting. Like you said, you're if you're drafting these,
put your guy in who you just drafted.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would say specifically those like your top three picks, you know, like those guys as
number
you're
one for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, yeah, because like
multi-tabling, you could like type in your number one pick, and if it's your last round, queue up guys who are not overlap ton, and then go on to your next draft to close it out.
And then the next level of it, Ryan, of course, like anything, right? You've talked about this a lot, like. You know, projections important, ownership is bad. If let's just say in this hypothetical world, ADP 12 Bijan, who's generally going there, if he projected 5 points better than the next running back you're scrolling down to, that's probably bad. You're probably giving up too much projection for that uniqueness. But if you're looking at the guys you're scrolling down to and they're within one, maybe 2 points or whatever, then it's like, oh, that uniqueness is probably worth it. And that's where I think the nuance comes into play. It's like there's a difference. You got to know how much are you sacrificing for that uniqueness.
Yes, for sure. You should always be keeping that in mind with all these decisions. I think some of these are just so obvious. Like you said, if a third of the field is taking Kareem Hunt with AJ Brown, that can't be right. Like that doesn't seem like that can be right in any scenario. So you don't take them. Now, once it gets down to like 9-10% or something, then it's probably like, you know, whatever. Don't do it. It's up to you. It doesn't matter. I don't know what that number is, but like these top ones are just so obvious. You should be doing this every time.
So if you guys want access to this, this is all part of the draft caddy. So when you do go to set like your columns, like you can see the columns I have up when I'm drafting right now. They just added implied total. That I appreciate you guys adding that. You guys had overall total, but I wanted to see the team total more. So this is helpful. And then I have spread and obviously the ownership projection. And then you can now go to best ball or battle royale ownership. And this is what I'll keep up on a second screen when I'm drafting. And this is all via the draft caddy. And you just go and you download the new version, right, Brian?
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll do the same thing for BBM next year.
Yeah. And let people, I believe, is it with in-game syndicate, there's a discount on Draft Caddy, or is it vice versa?
Vice versa. If you're a Draft Caddy member, you get a discount on in-game. That's where Dan right now is currently releasing his optimal numbers too, if you want them. I need to do both discounts and get a promo codes and stuff.
Yeah. You guys can go to thedraftcaddy.com or go to in-game syndicate and click the draft caddy from the tab and get going over there. I think very, very helpful tool as we get into this increasingly hyper-competitive battle royale landscape. I mean,
yeah, not for you, Pete. Not for you. And also NBA, it looks like your day one went pretty well too, huh?
Yeah. I mean, blind nut, you know, the first night trying NBA.
It's nice having a strategy, isn't it? Like an overall idea of how to do things and then you apply it to different things. It's great.
And it's good. It would be so much harder, I think, to go from an NBA bro to NFL, just the jump from positions or non-positions to positions. Like it's a little easier to go to a sport where I don't have to worry about any of the correlation or positions. I can kind of make my process simplified.
I also think since it's non-correlated, it's kind of not totally, but it's definitely simpler for an NFL guy more obviously than an NBA guy. So I think that's the best direction to go. if it was way more correlated, yes, then they'd have an edge over you, you know?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And they already do. I got lucky clicking buttons last night, but had fun. And I even got some sweat equity out of it, Brian. I was literally about to go to bed and I was like, wait, some of these teams are doing really good. I pull up the Memphis Utah game and I'm like, what the fuck? If you told me I was sweating that game, like I didn't watch any NBA last year. So
NBA is a pretty good sweat. I'll give it that. If they, I hate the late swap. It's too much, but the slow drip sweat is pretty good. We talked about this with BP on Endgame last week. He likes the NBA sweat too. And I agree with him. So NBA is pretty good sweat. NFL showdown combo or NFL combo with red zone's a good sweat too.
Yes, for sure. All right. If you guys want more Battle Royale talk right now, Brian's hopping off and heading over to the Endgame and Davis's show with Nerdy. I've been watching back those on playback when I get a chance. Really enjoy those shows. I have the redirect set up right here. So if you refresh, you should be taken right there. But Brian, any other specific things on tap today for that show?
No, you're just going to hear the ASMR keyboard for an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yeah. I like that that's become its own, taken on a meme of its own over on that show. All right. Appreciate you guys. We'll get the audio up for you audio listeners as well. Check out the Draft Caddy. Go check out Brian Davis and Nerdy over on that stream. And we'll see you guys next time on Lulz. Peace.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.